I've enjoyed everything that's went on tonight. I didn't have to say a word. Hallelujah. It's been wonderful to be in God's house today. I like coming where the presence of the Lord is. I don't know if you know it or not, but it ain't like this everywhere you go. There are some places it's dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. Good people, they just don't know nothing about the presence of God. And they're content to be where they're at. I don't want to ever be content to be out of His presence. Amen. I want to come to His house, and I'm glad when we can come and He's at home. Amen. There ain't nothing else like it in the world. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for the good place to stay last night, and I want to thank the ladies for that wonderful meal today. I don't know if you know it or not, but you got some cooks in this church. Amen. They told me when I went into evangelism I'd starve to death. I weighed 180 pounds when I went into evangelism. Now I weigh 200, none of your business. Amen. May not be able to pay your bills, but you won't starve. Amen. They'll feed you to death everywhere you go. Hallelujah. And I like to eat, so I don't want to make nobody mad. I just go ahead and eat. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you'll turn to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter number 45 tonight. It's been kind of an unusual day for me. I would not have chosen these messages that I preached today, but I believe it's what the Lord would have me to preach. And I learned a long time ago that it's just my job to preach what He tells me. And you never know. You never know. Years ago when I was a young preacher, it bothered me. I remember I was preaching from my dad one time, and on the way home from church that Sunday afternoon, I said to Dad, "Well, I laid a big old egg this morning." And my dad looked across the truck at me, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Son," he said, "you don't never know." He said, "There was a lady came to the altar for the first time this morning in 11 years. So we don't always know what God's doing. Sometimes when I think I've done my worst, God has done His best. Amen. And so when I'm weak, then He is strong. Amen. Well, I'm glad to see you back in the Lord's house this evening. I want to read just one verse tonight out of Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 22. It says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." The book of Hebrews chapter number 12 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. Hey, I'm saying tonight, and I want to preach on this subject on what happens when you take your eyes off Jesus. Amen. Now, we're at that time of year where there's a lot of hustle and bustle, and I don't have a problem with Christmas. I believe it's all right, but now that I'm older, it has become more of a thing of family getting together than it is a time of presents and that kind of thing, and we still get them for the grandkids, but really, if I need something, I just go buy it. Amen. I don't wait until Christmas, but what I'm saying to us is this. My wife tried to get me to go shopping the day after Thanksgiving. I think you have lost your mind to go out with all that crazy bunch on Black Friday. Amen. But this time of year, we need to realize, you know, the world's trying to take Christ out of everything. Amen. They don't even want to call it Christmas. They want to call it Xmas. Amen. And now they'll say, "Happy Holidays. Amen. When they do, I say, Merry Christmas, glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. And so we need to think about and get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody said tonight, since the fires have happened up here, there's been more talk about the Lord and more talk about God. Let me say, we're at that time of year when you'll have more opportunity to witness to your family and more opportunity to witness to others. They're more receptive at this time of year than they are any time of year. Amen. So even though all this is going on around us, we need to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now once again tonight for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I've been blessed already for having been here tonight. I appreciate all the good singing, Lord, and how it spoke to my heart. I appreciate the good testimonies. God, I appreciate the tender hearts and the tears, Lord, that have been shed in this place tonight. And you've been a good God, and I bless your wonderful name. God, if you never did anything else but save us, you sure have been good to us. Now, I want you to know, Lord, that I'm thankful tonight. And I'm appreciative, Lord, of every breath of God upon my life. God, I ask you, Lord, to continue to work on me. Work patiently, work gently, but Lord, please don't quit working on me. You have your will and your way now tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I see some things here in this verse in Isaiah chapter number 45. The first thing I see is, He said, look unto me. Now, that is a command of God. We're to look away from all other objects and look unto Him. He said in the book of John chapter number 12 and verse number 32, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. So we need to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I have people tell me all the time, well, preacher, I just can't talk about the Lord. But it's a funny thing to me. They can talk about anything that they're interested in, but they have trouble talking about the Lord. If you've got trouble talking about Jesus, I doubt you've ever met Him. Amen. Now, I can talk to you about deer hunting. I like to fish. I like fast cars, and I can talk to you about that. But if you really want me to get excited, start talking to me about the Lord. Amen. It excites me. Hallelujah. I was with a preacher friend of mine, Brother Spears, and he and I was sitting in a Waffle House, and that place was full. And we ordered our food, and as we was eating, we got talking about the Lord. And it got bigger than we was. Amen. And we got to crying and slinging snot. And before we knew it, me and him both was in that Waffle House praising the Lord. Didn't take long to clear that place out. Amen. Hey, we ought not be ashamed of praising the Lord. Amen. Hey, I'm saying that we ought to put all other objects to the side. And He ought to be first and foremost. The Bible said that in all things He's to have the preeminence. Amen. Amen. Not second place, not the leftovers, but first place in every area of our life. Well, not only do I see the command of God, but I'm glad we can have confidence in God. I talked about that a little bit this morning. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. Amen. Romans 10:13 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He said this in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Hey, hell is a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, and God never meant for any human being to go there. Amen. This business of election and predestination, that crowd don't know nothing about their Bible. Anytime it mentions that in the Bible, it's talking to people who are already saved. I just read you two verses that said all. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Hey, we can have confidence in Him. You know, the devil used to bother me with that. I mean, really jump on me about me being lost. Finally, I got in the car one day. I got saved about 15 miles from where I live now. I got in the car and I said, come on. And I drove over where I knelt down as a 14-year-old boy and asked the Lord to save me. I can take you within just a few feet of where that happened at. I took the devil down there. I said, this is where it happened at. I said, I got saved right here. I said, and God's not a liar. God knew just what He said. I said, now I ain't messing with you no more. I said, the next time, come on your own. And I ain't had no trouble since. Amen. He's a dirty, rotten, low-down liar. Hey, sometimes he'll get in the car with you driving down the road. I was going home one night and I listened to him far too long. But after about an hour and a half or 2 hours, I pulled over to the side of the rough freeway in Nashville and got her out, walked around the car, opened the passenger door. I said, get out! You've rode long enough. Amen. Amen. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, don't you know the devil's chained? I said, if he is, he's chained to me. Did he ever bother you? Must be a long chain. Amen. Hey, I'm saying we can have confidence in God. Amen. I said this morning, hey, God cannot lie. Amen. God cannot fail. Amen. Hey, I'm not trusting in Steve Goolsby to get to heaven. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever sold a car or something like that on a weekend and somebody give you a big wad of money? Well, what a big wad of money to me may not be a big wad of money to you. But I tell you what I find myself doing all weekend long. I walk around counting that money, make sure it's all there. And if I count and it ain't there, I count it again. But guess what happens Monday morning when the bank opens? I go to the bank and I deposit that money. And do you know what? I don't never worry about it no more. You know why? Because I put it on deposit with them, and it's not up to me to keep it. It's up to them to keep it. Hey, I've already been saved, and it's already on deposit in heaven. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, it's not up to me to keep it. It's up to Him to keep it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I've seen the command of God and confidence in God, but then I see the creation of God. He said, all the ends of the earth. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What I'm saying to you, He said, all the ends of the earth. You can just look around you. You've got to be foolish to believe this just happened. Huh? You understand what I'm telling you? Abigail went in class. She was coming out and she told me, she said, I knew I was going to be in trouble today. Her teacher said, today we're going to be discussing the theory of evolution. She said, I knew I was getting ready to be in trouble. Said the first question he asked was, can anybody in here tell me what happened to the dinosaurs? Abby raised her hand. He said, yes. She said, man was wicked in the sight of God. So He sent a flood and killed everybody but Noah and his family, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. For the next hour, they talked about the Bible in class. And then he thanked her as she was leaving. And he, almost as an afterthought, he said, by the way, he said, evolution is just a theory. There's no truth to it. Amen. I think you've got to be plenty foolish to believe from goo to you by way of the zoo. Amen. Takes a lot more faith to believe that. I had one of the evolutionists come up to me one time. He said, where'd God come from? I said, anywhere He wanted to. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, if you're seeking after God, I got a good preacher friend that was in World War II. He's dead now, but he was talking about he is over there on one of them islands, and they told him not to go out in the jungle, but it was full of headhunters and natives, and he had got a letter from home. He said, and I just wanted to be alone. He said, I got my Bible, and I got my letter from home, and walked just a few feet out into the jungle. He said, and I sat down there and read my letter from home. He said, and then I opened my Bible. He said, and I was sitting there reading my Bible. He said, and I felt somebody watching me. He said, and I looked up as one of them headhunters. Said he smiled. Said his teeth were filed to points. He said, I knew I was in trouble. Said about that time he looked at me and said, white man know Jesus? God had sent somebody over there to witness to them headhunters. And that old boy got saved. Amen. Hey, I'm saying God can find you wherever you're at, friend. If you're seeking after God, God will find you. Amen. Years ago, we was going out west, and we had stopped sightseeing on the way out. And at this one place we stopped, we saw this dude that had his hair in spikes. Had about five or six of them on top of his head. Every one of them was a different color. I got out of the car. I said, hey, man. I had never seen nothing like that in my life. I said, can I take your picture? He said, sure. By this time, his girlfriend had walked up, both of them, she looked as bad as he did. Both of them looked like their faces had fell in tackle boxes. I mean, stuff hanging out everywhere. So I got to talk to him. He said, what are you doing out here? He knew I wasn't from there because I talked funny or something. I said, I knew he wouldn't know what an evangelist was. I said, I'm a traveling preacher. And I said, I'm headed out here to preach a meeting. When I did, that old boy started crying. He said, preacher, you ain't going to believe this. He said, but I've been asking God to show me if He is real. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Hey, I'm telling you, God will find you if you're truly seeking after Him. Amen. That's the creation of God. All you got to do is look around you. Amen. To know that there is a God. Well, then I see that there's a compliance with God. He said, I am God and there is none else. Hey, if you're ever going to get in saved, you're going to have to get in agreement with God. You're going to have to get in agreement that you're lost, amen. You're going to have to get in agreement that you need a Savior. You're going to have to get in agreement and turn from your sin and turn to God. Amen. There has to be a compliance with God. There's not many ways. There's just one way. Amen. So what happens? I've told about what this verse said about how we're to look unto Him, but what happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus? Let me say, first of all, it affects our journey. It affects our journey. The Bible said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall do what? Direct your paths. Hey, I'm telling you, when we quit looking at Jesus, the first thing it affects is our direction. I thought about Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1 and verse number 3. And we know the Lord came to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh, and Jonah didn't want to do it. And here in verse number 3 it says this, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now listen. And he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. That's even down further. And then he said, so he paid the fare of and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then when they picked him up and threw him overboard, he went down into the belly of the whale. What I'm saying is, anytime you take your eyes off Jesus, the direction is always downward. Amen. And I tell you what's bad about that is most people don't usually turn around till they hit the bottom. Amen. That's what happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Amen. It affects our journey. It affects our direction. Not only that, but it affects our dwelling place. I thought about Lot. He said in Genesis 13:10, Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plains of Jordan that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Judah, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Now listen, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. I don't believe Lot got down to Sodom overnight. Amen. But he started that way. And before you knew it, he was in a mess. Amen. Hey, if it wasn't for that verse in Peter, every preacher I know would preach Lot in hell. Amen. But the Bible said, in seeing and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul. Amen. Hey, I don't believe Elimelech ever meant to stay down in Moab. The Bible said he went down there to sojourn, and he continued. And then it said, and he dwelt. Amen. He got comfortable where he was at. Amen. Hey, when we get our eyes off Jesus, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I want to live as close to the Lord as I can possibly live. I want to keep short accounts with God. I don't want to get far away from God. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 1,000 times. If they get their eyes off Jesus and they start missing Wednesday night, they get their eyes off Jesus and they start missing Sunday night, and the next thing you know it, they keep moving further and further back in the church, and the next thing you know, they're out the door. I got news for you. Before they ever get to the back row, their heart's already gone. You understand what I'm telling you? It affects your dwelling place. I'll just tell you this. I like to set up close to the front in church. You say, why, preacher? Because I'm easily distracted. And I want to understand, hey, I want to absorb all that's going on in the church. Hey, I'll tell you even this. If I'm somewhere and it is getting on in the house of God, and I'm sitting over here and it's getting on over here, you know what I do? I move. If they're getting something over here that I ain't getting over here, I'm going to get over here and go like this. And see if it won't rub off. Amen. I'm saying I want to get as close to God as I possibly can. Well, it affects our dwelling place. David said this for in Psalms 84:10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. I'm telling you, the worst day that I've ever had since I've been saved beats the best day that I ever had when I was lost. Amen. Amen. Well, then I see also that it affects our destination. I tell you, when we take our eyes off Jesus, it affects our destination. Let me just give you one example. That prodigal son got his eyes on the far country. Huh? The Bible says he wasted his substance with lightest living. And when he came to himself, hey, you know, for years and years I read that story, and I was reading it one day and it never had dawned on me. When he started home, the Bible said when he was a great way off that the Father saw him. You know what that means? The Father was looking for him the whole time. Amen. That blessed my soul. Hallelujah. Hey, every day he was watching for him to come home. Amen. Hey, that's what the devil wants to do. Hey, you young people, he wants to sidetrack your life. Amen. Hey, don't you believe that crowd that says, well, you've got to sow your wild oats. You remember this. If you sow them, you reap what you sow. I never dreamed that what I was sowing in my late teens and early 20s, I would reap when I was in my 40s. Amen. The sins of the father are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Amen. And I'm telling you, them chickens come home to roost. So you remember, you reap what you sow. You don't have to have the scars of this world. Amen. Well, I'm simply saying it affects our journey when we take our eyes off Jesus. Not only does it affect our journey, it affects our joy. Let me look over here in 1 John chapter number 1. Here's what it said in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now listen. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. Hey, the Bible said He don't want us just to have joy. He wants us to have abundant joy. Amen. Hey, and when we take our eyes off Jesus, it affects our joy. He said this in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, when we get our eyes on Jesus, the most miserable people in the world are people that know God that are not right with God. When you take your eyes off Him, hey, I'm not saying that a Christian can't sin. I'm just saying that they can't do it and be happy doing it. Amen. Hey, I'm saying it'll make them miserable. Do you understand? It will affect them in a profound way. It'll rob them of their joy. David, when Nathan the prophet pointed his finger at him and he prayed that prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And then he said this, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." We're talking about a man after God's own heart. But he had got to the point where he didn't even realize what was going on in his own life. He didn't realize that the presence of God wasn't around. Amen. You're talking about somebody I believe is miserable to live with, buddy. I'm telling you, it was David. He had walked with God and talked with God, and now he's so far away from God that he didn't even know Nathan was talking about him. It affected his joy. Hey, I find myself, and I am no singer, but I'm telling you, when God saves us, I believe He puts a song in our heart. Amen. Me and Abigail was sitting somewhere waiting to eat. We was waiting to be seated, and one Sunday afternoon, and me and her got to singing while we were sitting there, just real quiet, me and her sitting side by side. And I noticed after we'd sung a little while, there was a black lady sitting across from us. She said, "Whoa, glory to God, that's good. We is having church." Amen. You understand what I'm telling you? Christian people, there's a song in our heart. Amen. A lot of times I find myself singing, I'm not even conscious of it, amen. But I'm telling you, there's a joy down in my soul, amen. And if it's not there, you better check up and see what's happened. Amen. They're talking about Christmas joy now. Hey, I got news for you. It ought not be just presents in this time of year that brings us joy, but it ought to be Jesus all year long, amen. Hey, He's already given us the greatest gift that any of us could have, and that is eternal life. Well, I'm saying that when we take our eyes off Jesus, it affects our joy. I mean, you think about David, it affected his faith. As I said already, he didn't even realize that Nathan was talking about him when he said, "A man had one lamb and a man had many lambs." David got angry and said, "Tell me who it is. He'll repay fourfold." Hey, it affected David's faith. Not only did it affect David's faith, but it affected his family. Here's what he said in 2 Samuel 12 and verse number 9. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord, do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, hast taken his wife to be thy wife, hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Hey, when David lost his joy, it affected his family. He was someplace that he shouldn't have never been. You understand what I'm telling you tonight? You think about all the wives that he already had. And yet he takes that man that's just got one. You understand what I'm telling you? And we know that the sword, the Bible said the sword never departed from his house. We have a brother that raped his sister and another brother that killed that brother. Do you understand? And a baby that died because of it. Hey, I'm telling you right now, you're talking about sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow. It affected his family. It affected his faith. Hey, it affected his friends. Uriah had been a faithful friend to David. Hey, he was so faithful of a friend that he delivered his own death warrant by his own hand that the king had given to him. Hey, the Bible tells us, Brother Buddy, no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether therefore we live or die, we are the Lord's. I got news for you. Somebody is watching your life. Do you understand? And depending upon what you do, it may determine where they spend eternity. That boy is watching you. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You better be careful. I think one of the saddest things I ever heard, I went with a preacher to visit this fellow that was dying. He said, I want you to preach my funeral. And he said, I want you to tell my boys, he had four boys, tell my boys I went to hell not to follow me there. My friend began to try and witness to him. He said, you don't understand. He said, I've said no to God and said no to God and said no to God. Now, I don't know how all that works, but I do believe you can send away your day of grace. But here's the sad thing about it. Even though that man told that preacher that, and I know that preacher preached that at that funeral, regardless of what that preacher said and regardless of what their daddy said, unless God does a miracle, they're going to follow their daddy to the same place that he went. Do you understand? I'm talking about when we get our eyes off Jesus, it affects our joy. It affects our journey. I'll tell you something else. When you get your eyes off Jesus, it affects your judgment. Hey, if you're not looking at Him, you do things that you normally wouldn't do. You make decisions that you normally wouldn't make. You go places that you normally wouldn't go. When you get your eyes off Him, it messes up your mind. I tell you, I have seen young people with the hand of God upon their life, and the devil slipped them a counterfeit. Somebody that's lost. I had one girl told me, she said, Preacher, I'm talking about a good, godly young girl. She said, Preacher, I'm seeing this boy that's lost. What do you think about it? Don't matter what I think about it. The Bible says you ought not do it. Yeah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It messes your mind. Hey, when we take our eyes off God and start focusing on everything else, it affects our judgment. We make bad decisions. Amen. I bet you preachers heard this one. Well, preacher, we feel like the Lord is leading us somewhere else. And then they go join some non-denominational bunch of trash. God ain't in that. Hey, God will never... I tell you another one I've heard a lot of. Well, preacher, I just don't love them anymore. And God has told... No, don't you go blaming God for telling him you to leave your spouse. God never commanded anybody to leave their spouse. Amen. I know it ain't popular preaching, but it's right. Amen. Hey, God will never tell you to do something contrary to what His Bible says. What the Word of God condemns, I am not going to condone. I had a couple that was visiting my church for a while, and I just assumed that they were married. So one Sunday they came forward and said, "We'd like to join." And I never let anybody join the church till I talked to them first. So I told them I'd stop by and talk with them and we'd see. Well, when I went by there and got talking to them, I found out they shacked up. And I said, "Well, you can't join our church." I said, "The Bible preaches and teaches against that." I said, "It says whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge." Hey, they went 5 miles down the road and joined another Baptist church. What's wrong with that picture? You understand what I'm telling you tonight? I'm saying it affects your judgment. Hey, when we get our eyes off Him, here's what it said in Proverbs 21:2. "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." Here's what it said in Judges chapter number 21 and verse number 25. "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Here's what the Bible said in Titus 2:11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly." Where? In this present world. Doing what? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It affects our judgment. Jonah ran away. Lot ran too. And David simply stayed where he is at. In all three cases, it was the wrong thing to do. You know why? Because their judgment had been affected. Let me just say to you, not everybody that says they're a Christian is a Christian. Huh? Not everything that's done in the name of the Lord is of God. I'm saying tonight that you and I, we need to walk so close to Him. And our focus needs to be totally on Him. I thought about Peter. You know, I compare myself a lot to Peter, Brother Chad, because I am constantly sticking my foot in my mouth. And I got the same problem Peter's got. Sometimes I have a temper. I don't believe Peter was trying to cut that guy's ear off. I believe he was trying to cut that guy's head off. Amen. But I said all that to say this. Peter, he said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid Thou me come to You." And Peter got out of the boat. And he went to walk into Jesus on the water. By the way, Peter was doing great as long as he was looking at the Lord. But you read the next statement, it said, "When he saw the wind boisterous," and he saw the wave, instead of looking at Him, he got to looking around at everything that was going on. And he began to sink. And that's what happens to us when we get our eyes off Jesus. We begin to sink. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get so far away from God. I want to stay real close to Him. And I want to look at Him. And I'm going to keep my focus on Him. Huh? Me and the preacher was talking just a little bit today. He said, "Don't read the paper. Don't watch the news." I'll just be honest about it. I don't watch much news. I had a guy come to me one time. He said, "Preacher, you're going to have to talk to my wife. She is driving me crazy." He said, "She's worried about everything that's going on in the world." I said, "Well, I'll be glad to." They came into my office. I said, "Do you mind if I ask you one question?" She said, no, preacher. She said, you know, she told me she was worried about all that. And after I talked to her just a minute, I said, do you mind if I ask you one question? She said, sure. I said, do you watch Fox News? She said, oh, it's the first thing I do when I get up in the morning. Said, I turn the TV on. Said, I watch Fox News all day long. I said, I can help you with your problem. Cut it off.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
She was so tore up about everything that's going on in the world. You know what her problem was? She got her focus on everything else except the Lord. Amen. Hey, He's not going to let anything happen to us that doesn't pass through His hands. Amen. I'm just saying unto you, look unto me. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and what? Finisher. Hey, He which hath begun a good work in you will do what? Perform it. Hey, He's going to do it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Well, I'm just saying to us tonight, we need to keep our focus in the right place, even at this time of year. Don't get so wrapped up in all that's going on that you forget what Christmas is really about. Christmas is not about giving and receiving presents. Christmas is about God sending His Son down here that you and I might have eternal life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Lord, I'm very appreciative. I'm very appreciative, Lord, of the hand of God upon my life. God, I pray for each and every family here tonight. God, I pray for this church. I pray You'd put a hedge of protection about it. God, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to keep our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray that You'd help us to do everything that's within our power to finish well the race that is set before us. And God, I pray that You'd not let anything get between us and You. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me just give you one illustration.